His music teacher was potty as a pot potato in a potter's potted meat sandwich, and you can't get much pottier than that, can you? She lived in the village of Runnynose, which was full of potty people. There was Honor Shufflebottom, who had never had to buy a pair of shoes in her whole life, and there was Willie Go-to-Bed. A friend once told me that he had been sitting at the top of the stairs in his pyjamas for the last 30 years. And then there was his music teacher, Ingredient Kitchen, who, well, you will meet her for yourself in a minute. Most people thought that she was very funny indeed. But to her student, there was something else about her too. Just a little something. A little something that he just could not quite put his finger on. Hamlin Music proudly presents A Wizard in the Kitchen, Words and Music by Philip Watkins. Kitchen may have looked odd in her stripy socks and chef's hat, but she also looked sad. "So tell me, Herring, was that really your last lesson?" she asked, her voice bubbling like a pan of thick gloop on a stove. The reply could not have sounded more quiet and ordinary. "Yes, but my name's Harry, not Herring," said Harry, looking rather puzzled. The unusual woman sat in silence at her piano, or panini as she liked to call it, and then stood up and walked over to a table. "Well, before you go," she whispered, "I have a little gift for you. I've composted you a piece of music." "No, thank you, Mrs. Kitchen," Harry said politely, "but I won't be playing again. I've only been having lessons because my mum and dad have been making me." He quickly gathered his things and walked over to the door. Mrs. Kitchen looked horrified. "Isn't your father pickling you up tonight, dear?" she asked breathlessly. "Oh, please do be careful. It's very foggy outside and, well, one hears such fishy tales." It was then that as Harry stepped out into the darkness, he experienced the first of the evening's very peculiar events. He heard his teacher's voice behind him, but it sounded very different, almost as if it were 1,000 years old and full of fear. "Beware," it warned. "Beware the witch's omelette." "Oh, please," cried Harry. "Please, Mrs. Kitchen, you're confusing me." He remembered a game he had played on his Xbox a month before and said helpfully, "Do you think you might mean amulet? It's like a thing that protects against evil." "Omelette, amulet, amulet, who cares?" she boomed. "It's feeling at the counts, but for your benefit." And then with the same strange voice and with her bony finger pointing into the distance proclaimed, "Beware, beware the witch's amulet." The young boy trotted into the night. "I'm sorry, Mrs. Kitchen, but I don't believe in witches," he said. Harry was so relieved to have said goodbye to Runny Nose that he whistled his way home through the damp gloom. But after a while, his mood became more somber as he realized how different familiar things look at night, in the dark, in the fog. He walked for about 10 minutes and began to feel cold. I wish I'd brought my torch, he said to himself. When he reached the main road, there was a turning he didn't recognise. And when he entered what he thought should have been the village, he seemed to be walking for ages with no sign of the old church. In fact, not much sign of anything at all. And he reluctantly admitted to himself that he was lost. He took the mobile out of his coat pocket and rang his father. But nothing happened. There was no signal. So he started walking a little faster than before, and sometimes he stumbled over a wet clump of leaves, or the bare branch of a tree would claw at his hair. But what concerned him the most was that in the fog, everything looked the same. And it seemed as if he were walking around in circles. Something in the distance. Oh no, it was not frightening. It was the sound of music, the notes floating through the mist like a trail of silver breadcrumbs. Realizing how very cold and tired he was, he decided to find out where the music was coming from. And he walked towards it through the grey, damp nothingness. He could not see anything for a while, but only hear the sound of twigs snapping underfoot and the tinkling of a nearby stream. But then he saw a golden light glowing from an ivy-framed window and a smoking chimney standing tall on a thatched cottage roof. And Harry began to feel uneasy. He began to picture similar houses he had seen before. Houses in storybooks. Houses inhabited by witches. And although he did not believe in them, he remembered his teacher's mysterious warning. He walked gingerly up to the garden gate, brushed the dead leaves off the house sign, and read the words, Caramel Center. And his heart rose as he realised he had walked in a circle and was back at the chocolate box home of Mrs. Kitchen. He scampered up the garden path, knocked loudly on the wooden door and ran inside to safety. Oh, Mrs. Kitchen, I've been lost in the fog for ages, he wailed. Please, can I use your phone so I can ask my dad to pick me up? She replied with a tone which oozed treacle, sponge and custard. Well, of course, dear. But one good turnip deserves another, so while you're waiting for him, you can play the piece of music I've written for you. It'll be such a trout. This time Harry did not see how he could refuse. Oh, yes, of course, he exclaimed weakly. He made his phone call and then walked over to the table and picked up his present. It was a short piece of handwritten music entitled The Amulet. Oh, what a strange coincidence, he remarked awkwardly, and then he placed it on the music stand and began. As Harry was playing, he could hear a strange sound coming from inside the instrument, and it seemed as if somehow the music were bringing it to life.
"Yes, yes, it is rather unusual, isn't it?" began Mrs. Kitchen. "But you see, my little Pease isn't about an amulet. It is an amulet, created to protect against evil."
"But why should I need protection against evil?" thought Harry.
"I'm afraid you don't understand," the teacher explained as if reading his mind. "The amulet is here to protect me, against your evil."
"My evil?" said the boy, somewhat alarmed.
"Yes, your evil. The evil you possess of being so run of the peppermill, so regular fries and ketchup, so normal."
And then her hair began to dance in a ghostly breeze, and her eyes blazed like glowing coals.
"My warning of the witch's amulet was just me having a bit of fun with you," she said, her voice getting harsh and strange. "I knew your pa's would hot cross bun eventually. I insisted on it."
"It was I who called down the fig, causing you to return and agree to play my muesli. Because now, by playing it, you've given it life, and its song has enchanted the room. It's felt the tummy-aching slops of your ordinariness. And the amulet, my amulet, the witch's omelet, wishes to protect me!"
Immediately, three notes thundered out on their own, E, G, G, and at the same time an egg flew from nowhere and hit him smack on the head. Harry gasped in horror.
"You may not believe in sandwiches," cried his teacher, "but this one most definitely believes in you, you boring little..."
There was an enormous explosion as Ingredient Kitchen's manuscript burst into flames, and then things really began. Eggs flew at him from all directions, and the piano, which had started to emit a low, menacing growl, began to chase him around the room, its lid snapping up and down like a pearly-toothed crocodile chewing a coffin. Produced an egg, maybe it'll work for me too. So he prepared to play the notes D, A, D. But as soon as he played the first note, Mrs. Kitchen grabbed his arm.
"Not so fast, Count of Munchy Crispo," she hissed. "I haven't finished with you yet."
There followed a tussle, but in the commotion she accidentally sounded the note E as well. So in all, the notes played were D, E, to her all at once, yelping, twitching, groaning and leaping until, as if pushed by an invisible hand, she tripped, stumbled forwards across the room and ended with her head and torso inside the grand piano. The prop dislodged and then the heavy piano lid fell shut with an almighty crash. A few seconds later, with raw egg sliding down Harry's hair, his father arrived. He stared at Mrs. Kitchen's skinny legs and plump bottom sticking out from the piano.
"What on earth has happened to Mrs. Kitchen?"
he asked, horrified. "Oh, I'm not really sure," said Harry, trying not to sound too normal. "But I think she played a wrong old Wizard in the Kitchen, the soloist was and the narrator was Tony Fielding Raby.